world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Alzheimer's disease can plunge both victim and caregiver into a sea of darkness. This week on Parents Are Hard to Raise, Diane shares some tips to get you through the night. Plus, this week's survival tip will make your toes curl.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. I was having dinner last week with some acquaintances. They're not really close friends, but they're people we get together with maybe once or twice a year. And I was talking to one of the wives, and her husband had recently had surgery, knee surgery, and he had complications because he was already compromised. He already has other medical issues. And she was practically in tears telling me how horrible it was. You know, obviously he had surgery, and coming home, she wasn't prepared. No one prepared her for bringing him home. He didn't get the proper care at home, and she said I was crying. They expected me to try to get him off, you know, the toilet and do things. And everybody, of course, always looks at me because they think I'm in healthcare and I am responsible for everything and know everything. And I said to her, well, first of all, do you think he got the right care? No, I said, okay. I said, and do you think someone should have told you what to do or what to expect? Yes. I said, okay, so why didn't you ask? You know, that's the most important part of anything, to understand anything involving yourself, a spouse, your mom or dad, brother or sister in healthcare. You have to ask questions. Ask questions if they're having surgery before the surgery, during the surgery, after the surgery. If something doesn't seem right to you or you're left with not knowing what to do, you have to ask questions. You have to know, you know, the proper channels to go through in the hospital. That discharge planner should be able to answer questions for you. You have to ask, though. You have to be assertive. You have to ask. And if something doesn't seem right, you have to definitely voice your opinion. Otherwise, you're going to be left in a position where, like she was, she didn't know what to do and she just wanted to cry. And she had to send her husband back. Her husband had to go back to rehab. So please just ask questions. And please call me, email me if you don't know where to ask or where to turn. The next topic I wanted to talk to you about is Alzheimer's disease, because so many children and spouses and I see brothers and sisters, you know, people who are alone, never married, maybe have no children, no spouse. So many are living with a person with Alzheimer's disease and trying to take care of them and take care of themselves. One thing I do want to encourage, if you are taking care of a spouse, a mom or dad with Alzheimer's, anyone, ask for help. You have to get also breaks. There's always help. There's adult daycare. There's help in the home. I would say combine them always. There is, at the end, there's respite care as well. But if you can combine help in the home and adult daycare, that will give you a break and give the person a break as well, the person with Alzheimer's. Give them a routine that they will be comfortable in if you start that, especially at the early onset, at the early diagnosis. When I talk to students about Alzheimer's, I say to them, if you can imagine that you've just been taken to a foreign country where no one speaks your language. You can't understand what the people are saying to you. It sounds like gibberish when they're talking. You see their mouth moving, but you don't understand. You don't hear them. You don't know what they're saying. And the people there don't understand what you're asking of them. Objects look strange to you. Your surroundings are unfamiliar. You don't recognize anyone. You can't tell anyone what you want or what you need. So imagine that and just think about how you would feel. You would get frustrated. You would be panicky. You'd be fearful, confused, insecure. So those, if you can imagine that, those are the feelings that a person with Alzheimer's goes through every day. Those are their emotions. That's the way they feel all the time. And as the disease worsens, the feelings get more intense. Their world is more puzzling every day. Everyone seems to be a stranger. Nothing seems to be familiar. They can't figure out things that they've been able to figure out all their lives. And with that, with all these emotions, with that frustration, your behavior is going to change. You're probably going to be different than how you were. So if you can imagine that, sometimes that helps you put it in perspective. And it's so hard for the caregiver because you have to remain calm. And it's frustrating for the person diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it's frustrating for the caregiver. Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia. And dementia is just a general term that describes severe changes in the brain that cause symptoms like memory loss, difficulties in thinking, problem solving, in language. And there's different types of dementia. The different types of dementia can share similar symptoms, but how physicians diagnose people with the different types of dementia, because they can exclude or include certain symptoms which help with the diagnosis, as well as, of course, other tests. There's so many people with Alzheimer's. That's the most common type of dementia. With our aging population and without successful treatment, it's estimated by the year 2050, there will be 16 million Americans and 106 million people worldwide diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. That's unbelievable. Each person with Alzheimer's shows different symptoms at different times. It's like anything else. You're an individual. It's an individual disease for that person. Certain people with Alzheimer's will do certain things, others may not. Symptoms and behaviors may change day to day. You, as a caregiver, you want to encourage the person to do as much as they can for themselves, be as active as possible, especially initially with that initial diagnosis. Socialize, have them reading, have them problem solving, have them exercising, have them doing challenging tasks. Alzheimer's, as is told, as you've seen, I'm sure if you're caring with someone, you've gone to meetings about Alzheimer's, you've gone on websites, you've read articles, you've read books. It's a progressive, degenerative, irreversible disease. Irreversible, it's not curable. Progressive and degenerative, it gets worse. It causes greater and greater loss of health and abilities. Research shows that Alzheimer's disease can cause changes in the brain years before the first symptoms appear. And it affects the brain in areas that are essential for our thinking, memory, our behavior, and our language. Some of the symptoms, difficulty remembering recent events or conversations, apathy, depression, poor judgment, tendency to misplace things, trouble doing familiar tasks, changes in personality and behavior, confusion, disorientation, problems speaking, swallowing, walking, and those last three usually happen in the advanced stages. Because of the symptoms people have, they have trouble thinking clearly. They find it hard to do everyday things that they used to be able to do: driving, cooking, conversing, shopping. Alzheimer's may start with slight memory loss and confusion, and it eventually leads to severe, irreversible mental impairment that destroys a person's ability to remember, to learn, to reason, to imagine. And it doesn't happen suddenly. There's gradual changes in a person with Alzheimer's. The progression can be start out with simple forgetfulness to the severe mental impairment. And Alzheimer's might take 5 to 10 years or longer. People with Alzheimer's can live 10 to 15 years with Alzheimer's disease if they're otherwise healthy. What causes Alzheimer's disease? It's caused by tangled nerve fibers and protein deposits that form in the brain. If you think of the way electricity travels along wires from a power source to the point of use, the messages travel through our brain in a similar way, but they're carried by chemicals instead of wires. And the information travels through nerve cells in the brain, so we can remember, we can communicate, we can think, and we can perform activities. Research has found that people with Alzheimer's have lower levels of the chemicals that carry the messages from one brain cell to another. They may have many damaged or dead nerve cells in the areas of the brain that are vital to memory and other mental abilities. So their mind still contains the memories and the knowledge, but it's impossible to find and use the information in the brain. You can't find it and get it out. Another characteristic of an Alzheimer's brain, it has abnormal structures, which you'll see they're called plaques and tangles. And these plaques and tangles are believed to cause cell death and tissue loss in the brain. The plaque, if you think of clusters of these chemically sticky proteins, and the plaque deposits form between the nerve cells in the early disease process. In a healthy brain, the protein fragments are broken down and they're eliminated. In the brain of an Alzheimer's person, the fragments accumulate and they're hard and insoluble, so they're not eliminated. And the tangles are the way brain cells become twisted. And so you can imagine all these twisted wires. They cause damage and nerve cell death. So these abnormal structures block the movement of messages through the brain, and it causes these memory losses and confusion and the personality changes. A person with Alzheimer's disease, they have no control over their symptoms, and they're not responsible for their behavior. Some of the risk factors of Alzheimer's, the number one risk is age. The risk doubles every 5 years after the age of 65. And the highest risk group is 85 years of age and older. Family history, scientists have found genetic links to early and late onset Alzheimer's disease. And they're finding that risks appear to be higher by conditions that damage the heart and blood vessels, like heart disease, diabetes, stroke, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. Caring for the Alzheimer's patient, that it takes a lot of patience and constant reassurance, calm and calmness. And that's hard because we become frustrated as caregivers to an Alzheimer's patient. Alzheimer's patients progress at different rates. There's no typical Alzheimer's patient symptom and behavior. They vary. As the disease progresses, they lose more control and lose more ability to function mentally and physically. Always focus on the things that the person can still do and that they still enjoy. They always need constant reassurance and unconditional love, no matter what stage of the disease they're in. I believe the three most important principles to remember, you know, if you're caring for mom or dad with Alzheimer's, always develop a routine and stick to it. A person needs consistency. You need consistency when someone who is easily confused and agitated. Try again to have them take part in their care, have them do as much as possible that they can do, have a calm and quiet environment. Signs, you know, that you're recognizing signs in a person, increasing and persistent forgetfulness. They forget, they start to forget people and even where the bedroom is, where the bathroom is. They forget in their own home. They find difficulty finding the right word. Their speech gets slower. They're hesitant. They lose their train of thought or start using inappropriate words. They start, you know, using words in the wrong places. Their judgment, they can't think of how to get out of a situation or how to make a decision. They just can't make a decision. They have difficulty doing familiar things like brushing their teeth, or they don't know what a brush is supposed to do. A common object, they can't think of what it's used for. They become irritable, suspicious, anxious. They start pacing. They're restless. They have rapid mood swings. They're calm and then suddenly have outbursts. They're depressed, but the depression may not surface in the same way depression does in another individual. Depression may show itself in their start wandering, they're getting anxious, and their anxiety is caused by noise, by crowds, by feeling rushed. They may have weight loss or trouble sleeping. They start pacing or they're agitated. Agitation can be a sign of pain or a symptom of something going on, an illness. So you have to, in a person with Alzheimer's, they may be agitated. They may have a toothache. You know, you have to try to first figure out, is something going on with them physically? Medications can cause agitation, a change in the environment. Sometimes patients with Alzheimer's are delusional. They start believing something that isn't true. They strongly believe something isn't true. They start hallucinating, hearing, or feeling things that aren't there. They have difficulty reading. They have difficulty with suddenly numbers or balancing a checkbook. So here are some hints when you're caring for mom or dad with Alzheimer's. Structure. You want to have a stable, calm environment. You want to follow regular daily routine. Because you have to remember, an Alzheimer's patient gets upset. Their ability to think clearly declines. And when they get upset, that happens even more. So if a person, let's say, bathed at 7 a.m. their whole life, do that. Keep that structure. Schedule to match their normal and preferred routine. Try to do things when they're most capable. Keep familiar photos and objects around. Encourage them with calm activities with a purpose. So let's water the plants. Let's sort laundry. Let's fold laundry. Repetitive tasks, but one task at a time. Don't say let's sort and fold the laundry. Let's sort the laundry. I always remember visiting my aunt's sister-in-law, and she had her mother there, and her mother wouldn't talk, but her mother just sat there, and they always gave her napkins to fold. And I always wonder, she sat there and she just folded paper napkins, and that's what she did all day, and that kept her calm, and she was happy, she was content. And now I realize why. I don't even think, probably back then they even knew she had some form of dementia. It could have been Alzheimer's. Bathing is a tough thing with certain Alzheimer's patients. Some don't mind. Others, it's very scary and very confusing. Set your hot water heater no higher than 120 degrees. Make sure you have a shower seat. Plan the shower, the bath, the same time every day. Be calm and patient, and always tell a patient, an Alzheimer's person, what you're doing. You want to tell them each step of the way. You know, you want to now take off your shoes, take off your socks, get them undressed by having them try to do it themselves, but explain each step of the way. Put a towel over them in the shower. Put it over their shoulders and over their lap so they're not feeling vulnerable or confused. always use the same steps when bathing or, you know, giving them a shower. Explain it always in the same language. And if they can wash parts of themselves, let them. Never leave them alone in the bathroom. Use a handheld shower. Don't have them, you know, if you don't have a handheld one and you have them in the shower, don't have them facing the water. That's very scary, the water just coming at them. Have their back to the spout. And if you can, use a handheld shower because that's less threatening to them. And have them use it on themselves if they can. Dressing, the simplest clothes you can find. Let them do as much as possible. Don't rush them. Lay out their clothes in the order of how they would put them on. So on the top, you want to have, if they've always put on their undershirt first or their bra, have that on top and then layer the clothes. If you can, find shoes with Velcro, no zippers and buttons if possible, you know, elastic waist pants. Eating, assist them when needed. Take one step at a time. Eat meals the same time every day. Don't serve food that's too hot or too cold. Use one utensil and one food at a time. So don't give them a plate. Don't give them soup and then put a plate out too. If you want soup, let's use soup first with a spoon. Eat soup first. Finger foods are good because you can put the food in their hand and they know, tell them, put the food to your mouth. You have to explain each step. Pick up the spoon. Put the pudding on the spoon. You bring the spoon to the mouth. Go through each step. Chew food slowly. Swallow the food. Incontinence, you want to try to take them to the bathroom, set up a routine every 2 hours, every 3 hours during the day. Try not to encourage fluid all day, but try not to give them right before bedtime water, if possible. Don't wait for them to ask to go to the bathroom. You want to take them, have that routine. Communicating, always talk where the person can see you. Stand in front of them and talk. Always use their name. Speak slowly, calmly. Simple words, simple sentences. Sometimes I tell people in the family, use name tags. You know, Diane, daughter. You may have to do that. Simple instructions. Repeat yourself and use the same words and phrases. It's okay to repeat yourself, and you'll find that an Alzheimer's patient, they may be repeating back. They may be repeating the same words, the same instructions. Let them do that, because remember, they have tangles in the brain, so they may not get the message the first time, the second time, the third time. It's okay that they're repeating. And a lot of times, by them repeating things, it's reassuring them. They're repeating the words and the phrases. Don't tell them, stop repeating. Let them do it until they stop. I know it can drive you crazy that they repeat and repeat and repeat, but it can help them. Use pictures, words, and gestures to communicate. The most effective is if you can, you know, say, bathroom and have a picture of a bathroom. Put a picture of a toilet on the bathroom door. Let's get dressed. You hold up clothes. So that helps. Exercise. Take them for a walk because that will get, you know, help their mood. It may help them sleep at night, get their circulation going, help them with their motor skills, encourage them to walk. Walk the same time each day. They'll look forward to that. And walking may decrease them from wandering or pacing because you're exercising them. They're not feeling so, you know, having to get all this energy out. Do stretching exercises with them, simple exercises. Do it with them. Stand in front of them and explain, you know, do one step at a time and repeat and say what you're doing. have them go to sleep the same time every night. Don't have the TV blaring. Have a nightlight on. That sometimes causes less confusion. Soothing music. If you notice a person becoming more agitated or restless late afternoon, early evening, that symptom is known as sundown syndrome or late day confusion. It's usually fading light seems to be the trigger. So leave lights on, shut out the darkness with blinds, with shades. Try to use up their energy, be more active during the day. Sometimes you can try to have them nap in the afternoon. They get less tired and less agitated. You know, block out noise. Have soothing music on. Don't do things in the evening. If a person does become agitated in the evening, you know, late afternoon, then don't do outside activities at that time. Try not to overstimulate the person. So you don't want the TV on in the background and you're talking to them. Talk to them in front of them and cut out the TV. If the person hides or hoards or rummages, you can try locking closets that you don't want them to go in. Put signs on doors or drawers, no. Sometimes, you know, that helps, especially with early onset. Watch their pattern. If they keep going around and taking the same thing, and it's, you know, something like a key, just give them a key, because for some reason they want that. Don't leave things lying around. Do duplicate keys and glasses. Keep their personal closet open with their clothes, because sometimes if they could see their own things in plain sight, that reassures them, and they can see their everyday items. They may not feel like they have to go look for them. Sometimes you can give them a drawer, you know, that you can put in harmless items, old keys, trinkets, things that they can rummage through. Before emptying the garbage, just check it. Sometimes people with Alzheimer's, they have favorite hiding places, you know, under the bed, between the cushions. Look for patterns. Most of their behavior has a reason. So if you look for the reason behind the behavior before you just, you know, respond, look for patterns. Sometimes we had talked about repetition. They repeat over and over again. Sometimes they're fixated on one task. So they're going to do that task, maybe turning on lights on and off, just on and off, or they're pacing. If the task, you know, if it's not a danger to them, just let them do it. Just let them do it until they stop, because they feel that sometimes reassures them. They feel comfortable with it. There's still a lot more to talk about on Alzheimer's disease. I don't want to give you too much all at once, so I'll cover more in next week's show. And when I come back from the break, my survival tip of the week.
She's always been there for you. She taught you how to ride a bike, tie your shoes, make your bed, blow your nose. She nursed you through the chicken pox and that nasty stomach flu. She was there on your first day of kindergarten, just out of sight, peeking through the window, her heart breaking just a little. You were growing up so fast. She knew just what to do to make it all better when you skinned your knee, came home with bubblegum in your hair, and got your heart broken for the very first time. Now, she needs you, and you have no idea how to help. You're not alone. Since 1982, we've been helping people just like you find answers to the problems you're facing right at this moment. Life is so much more complex than it was when we were kids. The stresses you and I face today are greater than they ever were for our parents when they were our age. We're pulled in so many directions at once. There never seems to be enough hours in the day. And no matter how much you do or where you turn, it still feels like you're letting someone down. These are the kinds of problems that can tear families apart. The good news is, you're in the right place. There are solutions, and we'll help you find them. We are the men and women of MedX Home Care, and for over 35 years, we've been helping families just like yours. grow older together.
Here's a crazy stress reducer. Curl your toes. Tighten your toes for 15 seconds as tightly as you can, then relax. Do this with all the muscle groups up through your body, all the way up. Finish with wrinkling up your face. It works. I tried it. My producer was talking in my ear and telling me she has all but one of the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, and she's waiting for the other symptom to appear. That's called medical student syndrome. Please don't get crazy with all the symptoms. So in this week's episode, we talked about always ask questions about your healthcare, mom or dad's, your spouse's. If you don't understand something, you want to understand everything. And we also talked about how Alzheimer's patients feel and react to their environment. And next week, I'll have some more tips on caring for the Alzheimer's patient. And that's all we have time for this week. If this week's show was helpful to you, or you know someone who would be helped by it, please tell them about it. They can subscribe to the show using iTunes. You can find links to the topics we just talked about in the show notes for today's episode, episode 16, at parentsarehardtoraise.org. I'm here to help you, so please tell me if there's something you're struggling with, and I'll try my best to include it in future shows. You can reach me through my website, dianeberardi.com. That's Diane with one N, B-E-R-A-R-D-I. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week.